Chapter 7. Practice. I have an appointment to see Dr. Eleanor Ahlstrom every Thursday after school. Dr. Ahlstrom is nearly as intelligent as my parents and far more interesting to talk to. But I agree with my mother about one thing. Dr. Ahlstrom is not helping me one bit. Why? Because I do not need help. It's as simple as that. So, this Thursday, I do something I have never done before. I skip my appointment with Dr. Ahlstrom. Instead, I go to the athletic field and sit on the highest tier and watch the football practice. At first, I can't pick Andy out of the confused mass of blue and yellow. I know he's a quarterback, but today they're doing running drills. Finally, I see him. Number 17. His long legs pumping as he dodges and twists and snakes his way gracefully through the defensive line. After the practice, I wait outside the school for him to come out. He's in there a long time. All the other guys on the team come out and get into their cars or take off walking. But no Andy. Maybe he left by another entrance. I start walking home, but I've only gone a few yards when I hear him call my name. Dougie, wait up! I look back and see Andy running after me. Hey, I say. Hey, I saw you up in the stands. I thought you might have. What's going on?
Nothing.
I just decided to skip Ahlstrom today. I don't blame you.
I still don't get why they make me see a counselor and not you.
I don't have time, Andy says. With football and theater and stuff, I guess my folks think if I stay busy all the time, I won't get in trouble. Too busy to be disturbed. I guess. He looks at me and grins and says, Hey, you want to hit the BK? Which was exactly what I hoped he'd say. Andy and I have a running debate over whether Burger King fries are better than McDonald's fries. I myself prefer the BK fries because they are crispier. But Andy likes McDonald's fries for their extra fatty flavor. But we both agree that BK makes a superior burger, so that's where we usually end up. We order our usual mess of food. I pay for it. Andy is always broke. But that's okay. I have money. My grandfather not only left me his train set, he left me an allowance of $100 a month. Most of it I spend on model trains, but I usually have some left over for other important things, like junk food.
We take our food to the booth in the back and start stuffing our faces and talking. Andy tells me more details about the play he's in, A Streetcar Named Desire.
He tells me the whole story, and even though I know the story already, I once saw the movie version on TV, I listen to him, because that's what best friends do. Then I tell him about a mistake I found in the calculus text. And we talk about Melissa Harriman for a while. You should ask her out, I say. She's not my type. I'd ask her out if I was you.
Then why don't you ask her out?
Why don't you shut up? I stuff another handful of fries in my mouth. I hate when Andy turns things around on me. He knows I could never ask out a girl like Melissa. In fact, the whole dating thing seems like so much trouble, I'm thinking I just might skip it altogether. Actually, the idea of being a loner appeals to me. Andy is looking at me, making me feel guilty for yelling at him. He should feel guilty. After we're done eating, we walk home, talking about some ideas I have for Madam. Then Andy asks me if I'm going to the football game Friday night.
I'm starting quarterback, he says.
You're always starting quarterback.
So you gonna come?
I don't think so. I have to work on the bridge.
You should get out more.
That's what my mom says. Neither of us brings up Melissa again. That's the secret to staying best friends with someone. You learn what not to talk about. For instance, we never talk about the Tuttle place. We don't like to think about that.